Happy Saturday night, everybody. Welcome to Max Inc. on Civic Media. Original local music from the state of Wisconsin. Don't forget, hit the podcast. For some reason, Max Inc. Radio is down right now. I think the squirrels chewed away some cables or something like that. So you get all the podcasts that you want. Civicmedia.us. Just click on the Max Inc. Radio page. And you'll find it all live in the lair, all the interviews, all the shows, busted out for you right there. Civicmedia.us, the Max Inc. radio page. While you're there, too, make sure you grab the Civic Media app. Oh, and you want more podcasts? Sure, we can help you out with that. May I recommend Nightlife with Pete Schwabba here on Civic Media, weeknights, 6 to 8 p.m. And on the phone with me right now is the host, Pete Schwabba. Pete, good evening and welcome to Max Inc. radio.
Hey, Jimmy, thanks for having me. And let me just say, that was one heck of a segue from podcasts into Nightlife. So I appreciate the promo. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, I appreciate your show, Pete. One of the reasons I wanted to have you here on Max Inc. Radio is I'm kind of a fan. I really enjoy your show, Nightlife, Nightlight on Civic Media. It's a good palate cleanser after a full day of political talk on the network here.
Well, yeah, that's what, you know, I hope to do every night. I know people get, look, we're really polarized right now as it is. And even talking about partisan politics or politics with people you agree with can get exhausting. So I do think it is a good palate cleanser, as you say. And that's what we try to do. We try to have people, you know, join the show that want to give us a few laughs or talk some movies and TV or fun things happening in Wisconsin. It's a really fun show to do, and I've learned a lot about Max Inc. too, because we have Terry Barr on every Friday nights for our bar band Friday night segment, which has been fun. So right back at you, buddy.
She just had a birthday Thursday night. She had a big old birthday.
Yes.
Congratulations. Happy birthday to Terry. Hey, Pete, when I started listening to your show, I really didn't know much about you as a person. I knew that you were a stand-up comedian. I know you did some movies in the past, but it was kind of interesting. So when I booked you for this interview, I felt compelled to do a little prep. And I actually went to Amazon. I downloaded the movie, The Godfather of Green Bay. And I loved it.
Oh, thank you.
I absolutely loved it.
Thanks.
I thought it was a great film. Did you start with stand-up comedy or did you start with writing and directing?
I started with stand-up comedy. And I, you know, when I was really young, I used to watch Woody Allen films and Albert Brooks and Harold Ramis. And I loved the guys that could write and direct or do stand-up and direct. And that's kind of... I really didn't know what I was doing when I made A Godfather of Green Bay, at least in terms of a directing standpoint. Like, I had done stand-up, and then I wrote this script about stand-up and incorporated other elements of my life. And I found a producer who was a pretty sharp guy and seemed to respond to it, so we teamed up to make it together. And then, you know, when it came to directing, I just kind of surrounded myself with really good people. Like, I was smart enough, I guess, to know what my limitations were, so... Yeah, we had a phenomenal time making that movie, and we had Tony Goldwyn up in my little hometown of Marinette for 6 days, and Lauren Holly for a couple weeks, and Thomas Lennon. It was just an absolute blast making the film in Northeast Wisconsin.
Now, that was your first film that you made, correct?
Well, when I moved to L.A., I had sold a couple films, like to bigger studios before we made that. And part of the reason I wanted to make The Godfather of Green Bay was because my writing partner at the time, Greg Liana, shot a little film called Meet the Parents, which went on to become this huge franchise, Meet the Parents. And I found it to be a great way to be more involved in the movie making process. Like, you know, we sold another film called The Guy Thing to MGM, and they ended up making it. It came out in 2003, but it was sort of like, oh, thanks for the script, guys. We'll see you later. Whereas making a film like The Godfather of Green Bay, you know, I wrote it, directed it. I even raised all the money and I played the lead role. I mean, I was completely immersed in the entire project.
Yeah.
So it was like going to film school. And that was really fun. Like, I didn't sleep for a month, but I didn't even care. You know, it was just such a blast.
That's amazing. And like I said, the movie was very enjoyable. I'm glad I downloaded it from Amazon. Let's go back to your stand-up career. You're from Chicago. Is that where you started doing stand-up comedy?
Yeah, I was born and raised the first part of my childhood on this northwest side of the city, about 2.5 miles west of Wrigley Field by the Kennedy Expressway. Moved to Marinette when I was in junior high, and then went back to Chicago and went to DePaul University and started doing stand-up comedy when I was there. So I was kind of Chicago-based as a comedian, and then went to L.A. for 14 years after that. It kind of moved on from stand-up and just started writing, and somehow ended up back in Marinette. Now I host a show on PBS, and I'm doing civic media work and absolutely loving it. So, yeah, I guess you can, it doesn't really matter where you live in some ways. I'm still trying to put movie projects together, but not as enthusiastically as I used to be, but they're still out there.
When you were going to DePaul, what was the catalyst for, hey, I want to do some stand-up comedy? Were you writing before college, or what was the day where you said, hey, I'm getting on stage to do with this?
That's a great question, Jimmy, and I ask a lot of guests that are comedians that same question, so I'm kind of glad you asked that. I'm not used to getting asked that question, but I think, you know, for every comic, at least when I was like 18, 19, I would, you know, friends would laugh at you and you'd go, would this translate to stage? Do I think I could do this? So I got up the courage to do like a coffee house show open mic at DePaul in one of their little rooms that, where they had this big show every year. And, you know, it went pretty well. So I entered a comedy contest in Chicago called the Young Hotshots of Chicago something or other college competition. And I won it. And it was all from various colleges around Chicago. There was like 10 finalists. And I think I had a little bit of an advantage because there were a lot of kids from DePaul there. But it was fun. And I thought, oh, maybe I could do this after I won it. And then I went to open mics and I was like, oh, that was a kind of a different kind of awakening, because there was no one from DePaul in the audience when I would go to these open mics around the city. And that's where you kind of get your chops as a comedian, you know?
Right. What was your first bomb like? Where was the show, and what was the circumstances where you kind of laid an egg? Everybody has that.
Yeah. I've had a couple that come to mind were both in Chicago. One was at a club called the Funny Firm, where at the end of the club's run, they were running three rooms and paper in the room, like just giving out free tickets and charging people exorbitant drink prices. Like, the crowds were horrible. Mm. And I got heckled, and I went back at the guy, and it was just uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I remember walking through the crowd going, I hope that guy takes a swing at me so I can take a swing at him. Like, that's how mad I was. And I'm glad nothing ever happened, obviously. But then there was another room on the south side called the TNT Comedy Hook, and I was just bad that night. I don't know what it was. I just was not getting anything. To quote my friend Paul Gilmartin, you could hear a bead of sweat roll down my back. Like, that's how quiet the room was. And when I left the stage, someone said, all right, a big hand for Pete Schwab. And as I was walking by this table of young guys, I heard one of them say, finally. In response to me being done. Like, I was like, oh my God. Like, so, you know, nothing too traumatic, but yeah, every comic has their bad shows.
I am not a stand-up comedian, but I've emceed shows and of course a radio show, and sometimes I'll try to lay a funny out for the people and it lands as flat. Yeah. And especially on stage, that is nerve-wracking. It really grows character, in my opinion.
It absolutely does. Yeah, every comic goes through that. And it's funny, I still kind of consider myself a comedian in some ways, and my best friends are still from my stand-up days. But I really only did stand-up for like 7 or 8 years on the road. And, you know, it was fun because all those TV shows were out there, Evening at the Improv, Caroline's, Comic Strip Live. So I got to do all those shows because it was kind of during the boom of comedy.
Yeah.
But once I sold a script, I was like, you know, this is a lot easier than working the road, and I could be home with my wife. And then I had a couple kids. So, but it's still, those comedy bones are still in you, you know?
Absolutely. Pete Schwab here, host of Nightlife here on Civic Media. Check it out. Weeknights, 6 to 8 PM. Pete, I was going to ask you what your favorite film is, that you've done, but that's such a hard question to answer. Let me ask you this. Is there a script that you've written that you just regret never making into a film?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, I have one right now called The Snowball Effect that I've been trying to raise money for, and I've had money for it, at various times. And then, you know, there's a pandemic, or we lost our lead actor because he was kind of a big name and went to do a bigger project, a Marvel movie, you know. It's like making an independent film. You have to get all your ducks in a row. It almost has to be a perfect storm. Mm-hmm. So it's a crime thriller. I'm still trying to get it made at a budget of like under $2 million. But another script that I sold with my partner, Greg, was called Dream Girl. And we sold it to Warner Brothers, and that never got made. And that hurt. That was like one of the funniest things we'd ever written. It was like kind of a Notting Hill meets Fatal Attraction. And, you know, it was people really high on it when we sold it. And then I don't know, the Hollywood just works in weird ways. Sometimes they get onto something else or the script of the moment. And all of a sudden your script's been sitting on the shelf for 10 years, you know, and probably will never get made at this point. It is really frustrating. That's why I like kind of pursuing independent films too, to make sure it gets made, you know?
Right. You get to keep what's yours for sure. How did the stand-up comedy, acting, directing, writing land you a gig here at Civic Media hosting Nightlife on the weekends?
Oh, that's another great question. You know, I met Terry Bell, who was the news director there for a while back years ago when I was a guest on a show called Director's Cut on PBS Wisconsin, and I was talking about that film with the host, and I brought Lance Barber with me, who was also in the movie. And he was on Young Sheldon recently, ended his run there, a great actor. But the two of us went on there, and we did an interview with Terry after. I kind of kept in touch with him. And when he started working for Civic Media, he knew I had done some radio at some stations in Milwaukee and kind of did some guest hosting and knew I liked to talk about entertainment and stuff like that. He kind of introduced me to Sage and, you know, some other people there, my crew, Catherine Lake, and it just worked out. They thought maybe, oh, this could be good, a show like this after a day of talking about politics. So I tip my hat. I love that they had faith in the show and they still seem very supportive of it. And I love doing it. So it's like I think I told Sage a while ago, it's just good to have a home. Like, I've been self-employed most of my adult life, and it's kind of been fun working for a company, especially a company like Civic Media that lets you, you know, talk about music like you guys do, or talk about show business, and talk about current events and politics during the day. So I just kind of got lucky and fell into the right place, I guess.
I love it. You know, obviously you talk about movies, entertainment, comedy, but you also bring the local aspect into your show, which is obviously what we do here at Maxine Critty. We talk about a lot about Wisconsin. I know with Thursday night, you were talking about the Door County Film Festival. You always have local musicians on. Is there a specific local musician that you've had on that you're really fond of and maybe can't wait to have them back again?
You know, there's a few. I've had Eric Gelland on from Mascot Theory. And most of these people I met through you guys and Terry Barr. Mm-hmm. I love Katie Scullin, her music. We've had a band on, a Northeast Wisconsin band called Radio for Pets, who are awesome. A punk band who just rock. And I, you know, three of the guys are from Marinette, where I live right now. I can't believe that these guys are from there because they, you know, they're just fantastic. And then a band called 7,000 Apart that's Green Bay based as well. So we've gotten lucky. There's some great music in Wisconsin, and it's been really fun to get to know some of these musicians, by and large, through the help of you guys. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for playing their music. Now, one of the things I love about your show, Nightlight, is your producer, Conrad. I think his... compliment to the show with your what you're doing is great. It seems like though a lot of the people that are listening to Nightlight are related to Conrad. Like, his whole family listens. Have you been invited to the family reunion?
You know what? I'm still kind of waiting for that invitation, Jimmy, and I'm not holding my breath. I got to be honest with you. They come across as very nice people, the Kriegers, but I have my doubts, and I'm not going to lie to you. They're crafty people. No, they're great. They love to text the show. And Conrad's a good sport because I kind of pulled him onto the air, whether he liked it or not. And he just kind of ran with it. Now I think he has a pretty good time with it. So
I love it. It's fun to listen to. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 6 to 8 p.m. here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Pete, I really appreciate you taking the time to join us on a Saturday evening. If people want to connect with you, ask you questions, or just maybe buy a beer sometime, how do we do that?
Text the show when I'm on. I love when people interact with the show. Find me on social media. I'm on Blue Sky, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, but I don't really check my Instagram. But yeah, I'm around. I'm not a hard guy to find. And I love it when people interact with the show. I love finding out what they're watching, what they're listening to. So yeah, definitely reach out and let's keep this thing going.
Rock and roll, Pete. Hey, stay good, and I appreciate you, and hopefully see you sometime soon in the future in person.
You too, Jimmy. Thanks for having me on, and my best to Rocker. Speedy recovery.
Absolutely. Can't wait to have him back. Let's do some Katie Scullin. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.